Coming soon to a cinema near you, Van Damme is back, this time in the world of fashion. In the legendary fashion lanes of Hong Kong, he is a hero, giving out to many when it comes to jeans, shoes, watches, and more. But he will face the ultimate challenge when faced with the crime syndicates and, of course, the CIA. Starring Rob Schneider, Paul Savino, and directed by the legendary Hong Kong filmmaker Choi Hawk. This is Van Damme like you've never seen him before. This is Knock Off.
Camera. Action. Hey, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to Quinlan's Cantina's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Of course, supplied by the one and only Lethal Mullet Network and yours truly, The Lethal Mullet. Here we are, folks, about to chat about the muscles from Brussels. The legendary Belgian man who is, of course, one of the greatest when it comes to the legends of the 80s and high-kicking mayhem and, of course, the spinning roundhouse rear kick, whatever you want to call it, the slow-motion kick, which he's known for, of course, the spinning back kick, which is an amazing, powerful kick that we saw in Bloodsport, many other films. I mean, this is legendary. Of course, we're talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme. Of course, that is Jean-Claude Van Varenberg when it goes back to the old, of course, kickboxing and karate tournaments that he did back in Europe. And, of course, being the kickboxing circuit over there, as it was known, did an amazing job. So, obviously, from there, he became somebody who's known in, of course, bodybuilding circles. Literally one of the greatest builds on when it comes to action stars. He's always been a very fit guy, and certainly at his age now, he's getting on in his years, but he's still just as fit, a lot fitter than me, I can tell you that, folks. But still smashing out some movies, and of course, now really getting into, as you can see on his official page, YouTube, all that sort of stuff, lots of social media now with, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme. We salute you, sir. You're doing really, really good. And I want to see you in the next Expendables film. If they do number 5, you've got to be in there, mate. Because Villain was such an amazing, flamboyant, and cold-blooded villain. He was a great villain. So we want to see you in the next one. Maybe as his descendant. Who knows? Brother. Who knows? Cousin. Who knows? But it was great. And you need to be in there with, of course, Dolph Lundgren and, of course, the rest of the guys. I do believe that Sylvester Stallone will not be doing another one. He's handing it off to Statham to continue the films. And why not? Statham's still young, still sprightly, and still out there, and definitely is one that wants to continue in action circles. He's still doing great with his martial arts, and obviously he's, well, certainly looks like a kung fu mixed martial arts sort of background by what we see in the fights and stuff like that in Transporter and many other films. We salute you too, Jason Statham. All right, folks. Well, as we said tonight, we're looking at Knock Off, which is quite a really interesting film when it comes to the latter part of the 90s and when Van Damme was coming out from doing his big A-grade projects like Time Cop, Hard Target, Nowhere to Run, Universal Soldier, which of course he would return to later. This is a time when he was sort of experimenting a bit. And a lot of his experiments were great with some amazing international filmmakers and of course ones from the Hong Kong world of cinema and of course one being Choi Hawk. Now, if you know me, you know I'm a massive fan of Choi Hawk, and particularly his work with Jet Li. You can look at, of course, the Once Upon a Time in China series, particularly the first three, the trilogy of 1, 2, and 3. Of course, we got Donnie Yen in that series, Yuen Biu. We got, of course, some amazing fight choreography in that. And, of course, it's not just a straight-ahead martial arts picture. It's a real, I think, sign of the times. Of course, there was a time when the British and the Americans were coming into China and trying to sort of carve a bit of a trade when it come to, bring the technology they had at the time, particularly, at the same time, it's sort of a clash with what was going on in China at the time with martial arts and stuff like that, even just the political time that they were having. And it's interesting. Let's just say the period is very interesting. But at the same time, we've got some amazing characters. And, of course, Wong Fei-hung being one of those, played by, of course, Jet Li. This is a character, as we're going to talk about in a series of podcasts in the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at Wong Fei-hung, in particular, and of course, Wong Kei-ying, his father, legendary practitioners, and of course, of the Tiger Style, which is Hungar. And Hungar is a very, very strong, powerful, claw-like style, like you could say. It's one of the animal systems in Kung Fu. And, of course, the both characters, particularly Wong Kei-ying, was one of the 10 Tigers of Canton. And, he really lived up to that sort of martial atmosphere, you could say, when it comes to the prowess the man had. And, of course, he was a doctor. Both of them were doctors. And, of course, we're going to see this also in the prequel to that series called Iron Monkey, which, of course, starred Donnie Yen as Wong Kei-ying. So it's interesting that Donnie Yen came back, but he then played the father of Jet Li. So we'll look at that too. And, of course, the villain in Iron Monkey is the same villain, well, the same actor that it was the villain in, depending on how you see it, he's also a hero in the first film as well. Such a huge epic, that first film. The set pieces themselves are just amazing. And they're quite comedic. I mean, there's a certain way that Choi Hark really has with building characters. And let's save it for then, folks, but let's just say that Choi Hark really knows how to escalate fights, build set pieces, and really give you your bang for buck when it comes to action. And, I'm just going to say, folks, I'm a massive, massive fan. So there's some great Hong Kong action films I'm going to be looking at, particularly over the next 6 months. I'm really getting back into looking at the classics in particular. We're going to be looking at Project A, 1 and 2 by Jackie Chan, and, of course, Yuen Biao and Sammo Hung. We're going to be looking at those. Zoo Warriors we're going to be looking at, of course. Kind of an influence on Big Trouble in Little China to some degree. Some of the mystical elements, some of the fantasy, and some of the magic that they can put into those sort of elements to make this amazing, amazing story, of course, that John Carpenter would run with later. And I love that sort of mysticism when it comes to and throwing it in there with the warrior arts of the martial ways. Just brilliant. We're also going to be looking at, of course, outside of those, some of the really interesting Jackie Chan films, which there's some real Indiana Jones style ones, which you're going to be looking at. One of those, of course, a character that's basically continued through what I thought was only two films, called Operation Condor in certain parts of the world, and Armor of God in others, Armor of God out here. So these are films which he's really put his heart and body and soul into, and particularly his body because he's got injured quite badly on some of these films, giving you the entertainment that you're sitting back in your lounge and enjoying and watching. You know, like this is the sacrifice that Jackie Chan's done over the years, along with his stunt team and, of course, the amazing people on it. The stunt team themselves are just amazing, folks. I mean, they really are. We're going to be looking at, of course, Eastern Condors as well, which is kind of like the Dirty Dozen, with Sammo Hung and, of course, Yuen Biao, and they have an amazing team behind that as well. We'll also look at Dragons Forever, of course. Benny the Jet Akides plays one of the villains in that and has an amazing fight scene, which, if that doesn't look real as far as them connecting, and you can imagine the amount of takes that Jackie Chan did alone just on that film, well, you can get around him not being the answer for Bruce Lee. This is a guy that does take a hell of a whack when it comes to his stunt work. What a man, and what an amazing fighter, and of course, Betty the Jet Ukidez. You know, respect. You guys did an amazing job on that film. So, before we get into the Van Damme news, and of course, the Van Damme film of choice today, here's how you can contact us and check out, of course, the amazing work by the other podcasts on FPN and, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network.
G'day mate, how you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host Mark Newbold into a deep dive of Star Trek.
You can also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
Mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy, D, you know?
Right, mate.
Yeah.
Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage.
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. One of my karate heroes, folks. One that really got me interested in wanting to do karate. Yes, it wasn't just the karate kid that got me interested in Shotokan karate back when I was a kid. No, it wasn't. It was also this gentleman, of course, in a film by the name of Bloodsport when he played Frank Dukes. Even though Frank's style was, what was it, ninjutsu, folks. It was, well, it would soon be called Duke's Rue in that film in particular. It was obviously karate is what Jean-Claude Van Damme did. And of course, you can see that all through the film, the amazing Shotokan-style kicks, footwork in particular, the zenkutsu dash, the short stance, and of course, all the reverse punches and stuff like that. Everything was classic Funakoshi-style karate. And that really got me in wanting to learn it, because I think one of the things was the rigid sort of strong stances got me interested. But getting beyond that, it really got me interested in, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Now, he was different to Ralph Macchio and more along the lines of a young Chuck Norris in some ways. Chuck Norris was always a physical specimen. He's obviously a very, very strong guy and amazing karate work in the form of course, the Korean styles of Tang Soo Do and others that he taught and, of course, obviously learned. But what's great about Van Damme is that, of course, it leans more towards a kickboxing style, of course, because his legs are what he's known for, the splits and, of course, his amazing spinning work and of course, the slow motion of those kicks. Now, that was a forte that ran through all of his films. From there, I went on to, of course, Cyborg, Kickboxer, Wrong Bet slash Lionheart. Then, of course, he went and did Death Warrant and, of course, one of the best ones, Double Impact, folks. We'll do that soon. That's a fun movie, and we'll definitely get some great anecdotes and trivia for you in that one. But then, of course, then really hit the A grade when, you know, the alpha males, the big top dogs when it comes to action were people like Stallone and, of course, Dolph Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, they stepped right forward and pretty much took over the box office in the late 80s, early 90s. And then it fell off after that when all the actors like Tom Cruise and all that sort of stuff began to become action stars, particularly with the action thrillers of the mid to late 90s. And then, of course, we had, well, the franchises come up and pretty much still from under the popularity of the people with films like, of course, the Star Wars prequels coming back, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and, of course, the list goes on and on. But Van Damme, he's an interesting one where he sort of went right up to, I think the big film that he got hyped to was Time Cop, which is quite an interesting movie. Obviously, one I always thought was a little short, personally, for the kind of story they were telling. I think it needed a bit more complexity, but maybe that was just within the budget. But with an amazing director with Peter Hyams, I mean, he's a director that really knows sci-fi extremely well. Particularly, you know, I'm a huge fan of his Outland film. And he just really knows how to complete stories in a way that's satisfying. Particularly Time Cop. Time Cop is definitely his best. And, of course, it's one of the traditions that Van Damme really continued to do, which was to have two Van Dammes in the one film. It's not like he was getting paid twice to be in it, no. But he was obviously, you know, like the idea of having you know, two characters to play. You know, I think he really is, you know, somebody that likes acting. You know, you could say whether the quality of the material was, you know, up to par when it comes to an actor's work itself, but Van Damme didn't matter. Like, he, when it came to that stuff, he just grabbed the material and really ran with it. And I believe he's a far better actor than a lot of people get him credit for. Characters like, of course, Chad Nalix in Double Impact. He really plays that up really well. Of course, that would then go and play with that sort of material in Replicant with Michael Rooker. And, again, that's quite a good little film. Another one we will chat about here. These are all films which Van Damme was using to pretty much try and get back onto the top game. And never quite got there. And obviously, he's now into more straight-to-video sort of territory. I would say far above his rivals like Steven Seagal and others. He's certainly got some you know, fans still out there enjoying his work. And obviously, too, with Jean-Claude Van Johnson, the Amazon Prime show, there's still a love for not only him in terms of his serious action films, but a sense of comedy. The guy loves to make people laugh, and there's a certain passion he has that the fans certainly know when it comes to that stuff. Now, the next film that he did in the mid to late 90s, of course, was Knock Off. This is where he started to experiment with directors like, of course, Choi Hark, which really gave us some interesting stuff. And, of course, we've talked about some of these films that he's done in the past that get pretty close to that feel, but I do believe Knock Off's probably the better of the ones. We've got films like Maximum Risk, which was quite good. Again, that was a really good, complex story, again, to Van Damme's to a certain degree, and we really played that sort of, you know, more, I suppose, hard and softer sort of character together to really play up the story, and played it quite well. This film, Knock Off's a little bit different. This one's more of an action comedy, you could say. It's got intrigue, definitely of the Hong Kong variety, this film. Some of the fight scenes are really quite generous when it comes to Van Damme's abilities, and of course the abilities of the stunt team that they've got in the film as well. Van Damme had obviously worked in Hong Kong a number of times before with Bloodsport and of course Double Impact, and so he definitely knew the area, and of course his strengths in that area too. There's a great sense of comedy in the film itself. Obviously got Rob Schneider coming off films like Judge Dredd, where he's worked with some big action stars in the past, and in this one, he really, I think, sort of brings the strength out of Van Damme in some ways. That they work well together. There's a timing. It's not the greatest, but it's certainly got a cadence to it which you can enjoy. And, of course, we've got Lila Rochon in this as well, and Paul Sorvino. Paul Sorvino, folks, obviously, Mira Sorvino's father, amazing actor. He's got a real presence. I mean, he's somebody that's could tell a story and make, you know, could make anything interesting. He really is one of those guys that I was able to hold the screen and hold your attention because you really wanted to hear every word he had to say. This was from the writer of Die Hard, 48 Hours in Commando, as well as it says on the poster as well. And with that, you got a very interesting story, which at its heart is about knockoffs. Okay, companies which take top line stuff, Adidas, Nike, or as in the film, Puma. And, of course, one of the gags is, hey, you guys spelt it wrong. It's Puma, not Puma. Because they put an extra M in there and it completely stuff it. And, of course, the ongoing gags of those knockoffs is that they're not up to par. They're not stitched correctly. So shoes, for example, the soles come off in the middle of a race, which Van Damme has. There's some great footwork by Van Damme in this when it comes to kicks and all that sort of stuff too, which we're going to get into very, very soon. But what I do love about this film is it certainly amped up a different style for Van Damme and something that would kind of take, I think, a bit of a look at where he's headed. And, of course, for 10 years after that, in the early 2000s, he was doing a lot of very, very grim, tough action thrillers, a lot of them straight to video and now straight to streaming even. But there's definitely a case to say that, you know, he could definitely move into the world of comedy. I personally think, anyway. So let's have a look at it, folks. Let's have a look at the actual film itself, what we've got in here. So we've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, Rob Schneider, Lila Rochon. We've got Michael Fitzgerald Wong, Carmen Lee, and Paul Sorvino. The director of photography was Arthur Wong. And Yeah, written by Steven Edisauser, folks. That's right. As we mentioned, one of the great writers of all the material you've heard about before, 48 Hours, Die Hard, and of course, the one and only Commando. I don't believe we've done Commando yet on this channel. Can you believe that, folks? You know, I can even hear Arnold say, do it now, come on. Get General Franklin Kirby. We've got to do it. We have to do it. All right, so let's look at the main story of this film. Now, this was set in 1997, and of course, at that time, Hong Kong was being handed back to China from the British Isles, from the UK. And what's interesting, in the middle of that, of course, is a lot of chaos as they were getting things ready to hand over. And part of that is a lot of the business world. In this case, fashion, all that sort of stuff, or V6 jeans, which is the label that both Schneider and, of course, Van Damme's character work for in this. And his character is called Marcus Ray. So basically what happens is a shipment of jeans to the United States from them is caught out and seen to be counterfeit, that it's knockoff. And Marcus Ray, which is Jean-Claude Van Damme, is known as the king of the knockoffs, which people just keep paying out to his face. And from here, he gets caught in the middle of what seems to be a plot by the Russian mafia to keep United States security details and everything for ransom. And from this, there's everything from microbombs disguised within the V6 jeans, which are going to depart for America and, of course, cause chaos and mayhem on the United States. Between Ray himself and, of course, finding the explosives itself, he's the one man that can keep everyone together and, of course, find everything for the CIA. Of course, one of the big things is we find out that both Lila Rochon and Rob Schneider both work for the Central Intelligence Agency. They're agents of the government, and, of course, Van Damme's kind of been left out to dry by these guys by that time because they're both working for V6 Jeans undercover in this. So we've got Paul Sorvino playing the head of the CIA division, what do you call it, the intelligence division there, trying to find out things. And, of course, we have the Russian mafia hot on his tails. And, of course, some local Chinese criminals as well there from Hong Kong who are, without doubt, trying to cause mayhem in amongst the two. This is an amazing story, folks, and definitely one which fits Van Damme's time period here. All right, you got a taste of the story, folks. Let's have a look at who's starring in this. Obviously, this is a vehicle for Jean-Claude Van Damme and certainly written to his strengths in both acting and comedy. So this came out in 1998, so we're kind of on the slight trajectory heading into, obviously, straight to video fare for Jean-Claude at this stage. After he'd had the huge hits of Hard Target, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run, and many other films, it's an interesting period where I think Jean-Claude was reassessing his action template and really trying to inject some different stuff in there, and stuff that was probably, I think, hinted at in the big classics of Bloodsport, Kickboxer, etc., that there's a real comedic bone in his acting style, which definitely comes off really, really well with his co-star Rob Schneider. So Van Damme plays Marcus Ray, who's basically, let's just say, a bit of a con artist, a guy who's trying to sell defective and certainly knockoff versions of things. And along with his, you know, member of the family, that is, of course, Eddie Wang. You know, a lot of what happens in this is that, you know, they're trying to still pass off the V6 Jeans brand to the US and other places using much inferior materials, and of course, it's counterfeit, which is part of the cornerstone of the story. But I think Jean-Claude sells this quite well. As charismatic as the character, he's a bit of a high flyer in Hong Kong, certainly doing a lot of, you know, the sort of head of a company sort of thing, you know, somebody that's the head of something of a fashion label would be as stylish as he plays it in this. And he hams it up really well. I think, if anything, this is one of the better casts that Van Damme's worked with because it plays to his strengths and his sense of comedy. I think Choi Hark really should be awarded for what he did here in getting one of the more interesting, I think, performances from Van Damme. Rob Schneider plays Tommy Hendricks,
who we find out is obviously a CIA agent. And being a CIA agent, he is in, obviously, cahoots with Marcus Ray, working on V6 genes. But in this stage, he's using it as a cover to find out and foil the plans of the Russian mafia. At this stage, Schneider was going through a bit of a run of these action films where he would pop up as the comedic talent. And he certainly is incredibly talented when it comes to that sort of thing. Judge Dredd, obviously, he was very good in. And also popped up in Demolition Man. You remember that in Demolition Man, he played opposite some of the police officers in the future scenes of San Angeles. And I think that's definitely where Stallone and Warner Brothers would have got the idea of putting him in Judge Dredd. And, of course, he gets the line that he copies from Dredd, "I am the law," to quite humorous effect. So Robert Michael Schneider, basically has been in a lot of films, particularly with Adam Sandler, I remember, with in the late 90s and early 2000s, Deuce Bigelow he was in, The Hot Chick, The Animal, even in the Deuce Bigelow sequel as well. There's been a lot of different stuff that he's been leading himself in films, as well as being quite a great co-star, and always loves seeing him in film and stuff like that too. Now, one of the ones that really steals the movie in this is Lila Rochon, who comes in pretty much as, at first, seems like a V6 agent. So one that comes across from the States and is investigating these counterfeit genes. You know, what? Why do they get a shipment? She's trying to find out what happened. And she's, certainly commands the screen with alongside Robert and obviously Jean-Claude. What's great about it is that, again, she plays the role of a V6 genes consultant, whatever you want to call it, investigating this drama incredibly well. But again, a little bit like Schneider, you know, his character, Hendrix, you know, it's not quite clear whether she's got some type of authority outside of that. And, of course, this is what we find out later, is that she is investigating not only that, but, of course, what's going on behind the scenes with the mafia and the CIA as well, which is quite interesting. She was in also Any Given Sunday, The Big Hit. You remember that? So that's another action film that's probably worth us looking at. Now, that was directed by Kirk Wong, also known as Chi-Kirk Wong, that was a great film which had Mark Wahlberg, Lou Diamond Phillips, Christina Applegate, Avery Brooks was in it as well, also Bokeem Woodbine, Antonio Sabato Jr., and a list of amazing others as well. Elliot Gould was in that too, but that was quite a big action hit at the time, came out in 98, about the same time, so she'd been quite busy with that as well. But again, she plays such a good role in this, obviously very... very athletic in this as well. She does a lot of the action as well, not just with the firearms. She gets around and does some of the martial arts as well to a certain extent too. So very, very amazing part of the cast. Paul Savino, we've already mentioned him earlier. Obviously, one of the greats when it comes to really bringing on some interesting performances over his career. Some great ones, obviously Goodfellas, where he played Paul Cicero, The Rocketeer, where he obviously played a great role as Eddie Valentine in that. Now, there's a film that needed a sequel, isn't it, folks? It's just amazing, that one. He was in Nixon. He was also in, let's have a look. He's also in Papa, Bad Blood. He's also in Criminal Minds Beyond Borders series. But again, one of the great things about him is he's like, again, very similar to some of these other great stars in this. They really command the screen with an interesting performance and just really interesting way that the characters coming in to liven up the story to a certain point. And I think, you know, playing such authoritative figures, you know, whether it be in the mob or police figures, or in this case, a CIA agent, you know, it really adds to the power. And he's also a producer as well. Now, also in this, we have playing Detective Ling Ho, Carmen Lee, who's really good in this. She, I think, comes in at the right time where we see some shady dealings between, you know, Marcus Ray and, of course, his family. As he says, hey, Eddie's family. Of course, we're talking about Wyman Wong's character, Eddie Wang. Yeah, interesting is that, you know, she's kind of trying to unravel both what's going on from the lines of the fashion, but more a case of she's really trying to get to the bottom of what's happening behind the scenes there too. But yeah, really interesting role, and again, very, very good with the action in this too, which is quite good with the firearms as well. Next up is Eddie Wang, played by Wyman Wong, who's a Hong Kong-based actor from such roles as Gong Zai, Mo Wan Chu Fong, and Guang Yat Cham Ting Hao as well. And what's interesting about his, he's got real comedic timing in this that plays out incredibly well in this. You know, I personally think it's part of, you know, adding character, not only to that, but to Van Damme in this, really plays out quite well with his way of, I think, having a family member that he cares about who probably doesn't have his best interest at heart. You know, he's out to make a dollar. You know, he's a businessman, but he's certainly not one that is willing to use, you know, a lot of the best parts and stuff like that too, which is interesting. But a lot of his stuff has been based over in overseas. But he does such an amazing job in this as a lovable, you know, criminal. But in this case, also, you know, a cousin, if you like. But he's more like a brother to the character too. In this too, we have an interesting and funny businessman and dealer with, along with the Russian mafia. That is, of course, Glenn Chin, who plays Skinny in this. And he gets some great scenes in this. Skinny obviously goes around to do some of the more, let's just say, shadier dealings with the Russian mafia, where he's not only trying to keep his business afloat in crime, but also trying to keep the Russians from trying to steal too much in the area too. So there's respect for him, but at the same time, Marcus knows exactly who he is, and it plays out quite well. Next up, we have an amazing actor by the name of Michael Wong. And now, Michael, you may know from, well, actually his family. His family being the fact that his brother is none other than Russell Wong. Now, if you remember Russell Wong from Romeo Must Die, who's, again, not only a great martial artist himself, but also a great actor, mainly based in the States these days. I do believe that in Canada, if I remember right. But again, amazing presence on the screen against the likes of Jet Li and Romeo Must Die. But Michael himself was born in New York, and from there he basically moved into working on various action films, and most in that period too, also in Hong Kong, some really, really interesting ones there too. Obviously, one of them being Knock Off, obviously in 98, but he'd also worked in City Hunter as well, which is really good. So if we go right back to his earliest in that period, he was in Brandon Lee's Legacy of Rage, believe it or not, which is great. He's also in episodes of China Beach, which is, I mean, that was a huge series out here. And of course, worldwide in the States, and that was a medical drama series about Vietnam, which is interesting. City Hunter in 93 played Hideyuki Makimura. Again, a very interesting film, and one we will cover definitely as we cover more Jackie Chan over the next couple of weeks. One of those being, of course, Armor of God, also known as Operation Condor, which we'll cover soon on the show. He's also in Goodbye Hong Kong back in 94 as well. Thunderbolt, where he played Steve Cannon, and obviously right up to Once a Thief, which he played Michael Tang in 96 as well. He was also in episodes of Nash Bridges, playing the character of Po Lin. He was also in Once a Thief, Brother Against Brother, as Michael Tang as well. These were TV movies done in around about 97 as well. So definitely a series of films there, folks, and interesting ones at that too. And of course, leading right up to Knock Off in 98, and he's continued to work ever since as well, and some great stuff over the years. One of them being, of course, Triple Threat, which he did a couple of years ago. And of course, that Triple Threat's a great film. If you haven't seen it yet, folks, you need to check it out. Seven Assassins, where he played Fang Bide, and he was also in Transformers Age of Extinction as the Hong Kong police chief as well. So he's out there, folks, working on some amazing stuff to entertain you, the action film goer and lover of film in general. It's time for the trivia, folks. Here on The Mullet. We got some insightful stuff here today, looking at just some of the behind-the-scenes work on this. Sammo Hung served as second unit director on this film, and the release print suffers from the removal of a lot of the martial arts action shot in the film itself. There's lots of stuff that was cut from the film. It seems Van Damme had a lot more fight scenes towards the end of the film and in some of the earlier parts as well. There's an Australian stuntman by the name of Michael Miller, who is also an actor in the film, and half of the action that they had for their fight was cut as well. And there was different parts of the boat that they were in that they were going to have a fight with. Also, Jeff Wolf's character Scar and Jean-Claude had a much tied up and smaller section as well of a fight scene as well. What's interesting is Inspector Han was meant to be played by Jet Li, but then Jet Li, halfway through getting the offer, got the offer also for Lethal Weapon 4, and obviously bigger film. What's interesting is, too, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Lila Rochon both had their big breaks in Breakin. That's right, Breakin from Canon Film Pictures. And this film is also the last film to feature the Kai Tak Airport still in use. And, of course, that closed in 98, and now they're onto the brand new one as well. So one of the great things about the fight choreography, obviously, it had Sammo Hung. But, of course, it being cut, a lot of that probably isn't still in there, but, you know, hopefully one day, if Choi Hart gets around to it, he can put this all back together, and as in putting those fight scenes in there. It's still an incredibly tight edit, this film, which I think Choi should be commended for. It's tight, works with the comedy, and it's got a lot of almost video music clip style cutting and, you know, breathing in from one scene to the next. It's an amazing way of bringing the film together. Well, the film itself, folks, is one that's quite enjoyable. You know, this is something that, particularly on the DVD printer I've got, is pretty much straight from the VHS, I would say, the VHS or Video Master. But it's still an enjoyable flick, which I think Van Damme was really trying to experiment and try some different stuff. Choi Hark expertly comes in and gives some great direction in this, and certainly brings out an interesting performance for the Bustles from Brussels, along with an amazing cast, standouts obviously being Schneider and Lila Rochon, and of course some great work there by the local cast there of Wyman Wong, and of course the others as well. I think too, the biggest character in this is Hong Kong itself. We get to see some great parts of Hong Kong that may not have been on film before, and done in such a way that is interesting, fun, and I think if you ever visit Hong Kong, go and check out some of these great locations that we see, not only in this film, but Bloodsport and many others, and even Double Impact, amongst all the others that have done, whether it's Police Story and, you know, we've seen a lot of these Hong Kong action flicks over the years. This is a solid 4 out of 5, folks, on the Halifax Scale.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s their discs, their LPs, everything. All covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.